This is Barry Reichenbaugh with the NOAA Research Communications Office. I'm here with Keith Dixon at the Geophysical Fluid Dynamics Laboratory in Princeton, New Jersey. Keith, welcome.
Nice to chat with you.
Keith, I'm wondering if you could start out by just talking a little bit about your role here, what it is you do.
Okay. Well, at GFDL, I've been here since the 1980s, and my role at different times is they've all been involved with modeling, using computers to model the Earth's climate system, and I focus mostly on decadal to century timescale problems and a little bit more of a focus on the ocean's role in the climate system.
Okay. For the benefit of people who may not be real clear on what a model is, could you talk a little bit about just the models that you do here, how that works?
Well, in order to study a certain set of climate science questions, we rely on computer models, and they're these big computer programs, a series of mathematical equations, and we need to use those because unlike a chemist who maybe can do their experiments in a laboratory using beakers and test tubes, well, we don't have a twin planet Earth that we can use in order to perform experiments. So we need to create a virtual Earth, and it's these series of mathematical equations that encompass what we know about the Earth's climate system, and then we can run them as large programs on state-of-the-art supercomputers and see how well they represent the current climate and use them to answer questions about how different things work. Maybe in its most basic way of thinking about it, we break down the climate into its four major parts, the atmosphere, the ocean, sea ice, and land surface. And each one of those four would essentially have its own model that we then couple together, we say, so that they kind of interact with each other. And for each of those, we're interested in how energy flows through them, you know, what the winds and ocean currents are, how they move, how they transport heat and water, you know, looking at the global water cycle. And they're basically based upon our knowledge, the scientific community's knowledge about how the different parts of the climate system work, what the different physical processes are, what the governing equations are that determine how things move and how energy flows. So in that regard, it's really a synthesis of observations and theory in order to create the models. And then through modeling, we try to learn more about the way things work and compare them with the observations. So in each of those different parts, you know, the model itself, you can think of it as broken up to a bunch of little boxes, a little cubes. We divide up the atmosphere and the ocean. So in our current models, there's several hundred thousand boxes that represent the three-dimensional atmosphere. There's more than a million in the ocean. And at each of those boxes, we use those equations in the computer program to calculate how key factors evolve, how they change over time. Things like, what's the temperature? What's the humidity in the atmosphere or the salinity in the ocean? What the ocean currents and winds are, what their direction, their speed? How sunlight's being absorbed and reflected and where it is? Are there clouds forming? Sea ice, is it moving? Is it growing or melting? And, you know, water on land, is it evaporating? Or how much is moving to the sea via rivers? So with all those equations and all those grid boxes, we have the model go through and they see how things are changing, how the different boxes are interacting with one another. All those computations are made and updated to represent what's now happened at some time ahead, some minutes or hours later, update everything, and then we begin the whole process again. And it marches forward in time.